Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Good morning and welcome to the programme today. Live bands and dancing at weddings from today as the reopening continues. And singer Mary Coughlan reacts to the Taoiseach's decision to go to a music festival in England at the weekend. Recycling changes to today. So what exactly can you put into the green bin now? The senior Garda overseeing the hunt for the HSE cyber attackers on where the investigation is at and why no one should use their personal PC for work. The parents of an 8-year-old boy tell us about his terrifying bicycle accident and why they're pleading with all cyclists to wear helmets. What makes someone want to push themselves to the limits of human mental and physical endurance? Former Army Ranger and star of TV's Hell Week, Ray Goggins, will join us to talk about that and his new book. Text us this morning on 51551, email today cb@rte.ie, or on Twitter we are at Today with Claire. Now, it's another step on the way towards reopening society this morning. Among the restrictions easing today, organised indoor events and mass gatherings may return, while some organised outdoor events can operate with 75% capacity, and further restrictions will lift on the 20th of September. Now, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has described it as another major step forward, but he himself faced criticism over the weekend for attending a music festival in London where attendees had to be either fully vaccinated or tested. I'm joined now by Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor with the Irish Independent. We'll also hear from singer Mary Coughlan. Good morning to you both. Fionnán, first of all, similar to last week, government has a good news story to tell this morning, but there's a shadow of political controversy in the background.
So the double whammy last week of the announcement of the lifting of restrictions, you know, the battle is over, the war continues. And then on the tail end of the week, they had the launch of the housing plan, effectively a defining moment for Fianna Fáil's new term in office and Micheál Martin as Taoiseach, and all completely overshadowed by this issue of Catherine Zappone and this appointment to this UN envoy role.
And that's, of course, rumbling into this week, and we'll talk about more, so this more week, about that in a minute.
You
but
have
this
the
weekend.
Good news of the lifting of restrictions, CAO offers, students actually going back to college, back onto campus for the first time in 18 months, mass numbers, you know, live entertainment. So a lot of feel-good factor out there, life returning to normal. And we're now back again with more of the Catherine Zappone issue arriving today and tomorrow, and Leo Varadkar being criticised for his attendance at a festival across the water.
He did nothing wrong. He's allowed to go to that festival if that's what he wants to do. It was called the Mighty Hoopla in London. But it was Kate O'Connell on Brendan O'Connor yesterday who described it as tone deaf.
Well, the criticism of him is that perfectly legal, in line with rules, regulations, restrictions. It's in his private time. He's perfectly entitled to do so. But again, people are just looking at it going, did he really have to go to a music festival on the weekend where one of the country's most prominent music festivals couldn't go ahead? And was that showing leadership and living by example? So if you look at, there's a difference in tone, I suppose, between Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar in this regard. Micheál Martin was criticised a couple of weeks ago for going for the All-Ireland final. I don't know what he's supposed to do about that. If you look at his attitude over the previous 18 months, his wife and none of his family attending his election as Taoiseach, him living like a hermit effectively up in Dublin for long periods of time and not travelling down because he didn't want to be accused of breaking any restrictions and so on and so forth. So you have that attitude where he was going out of his way to be seen to be adhering to the law, the spirit of the law and the letter of the law, and not being in any way in breach of any restrictions or anything like that. And you now have Leo Varadkar's situation where after attending an event back in the summer in the Merion Hotel, which, yeah, again, was legal, no breach, in line with regulations, so on and so forth, but just people didn't know you could hold such events, and the mighty hoopla over that, and now this latest event, it just seems that there's a bit of devil may care attitude being expressed by him.
It was your own newspaper that reported this morning that he made a comment at the meeting with the live events industry when they raised the example of what was happening in the UK with reopening. And he said to them that he wouldn't be looking towards the UK as an example or wouldn't want to follow them given that they had a very high COVID incidence.
Yeah, so my colleague Gabby Gadafakaita, talking to people who were at that meeting last week, and basically that was the meeting where they were letting the live music industry know that, yeah, you know, restrictions are being lifted, but not as fast as you'd want, and there had been a lot of pressure on them to hold that meeting. And his point at that was that, you know, it didn't want to be told that, you know, they're doing this, that or the other in the UK, because he was saying, well, look, they have a very different approach to COVID than what we have here. His spokesperson this morning saying that, well, he was referring to the situation a few months ago when they were lifting restrictions, and that, you know, he stands by the view that they did things too fast and it wasn't, but that he's operating in line with regulations now.
Okay, well, Mary Coughlin is with us, singer and performer. Good morning, Mary. Mary, are you there? Mary, we can't hear Mary. Ah, there you are. Okay, Mary,
I'm holding my phone so close to my ear.
Okay, well, no, we can hear you now. It's a little bit echoey, but we'll get a sense of what you think anyway. What do you make of all of this morning? Obviously, look, good news, because live events will be back in some shape or form as of today. But when you heard this over the weekend, what did you think?
I just thought it was very, very poor taste, really. And he did meet us at the very, very last minute last week after all of after a whole year and a half of it. You know, he met with the Minister Martin and the Taoiseach and members of the LPSS and MIA. And, you know, he listened for the first time ever, you know, and then he made the pronouncement that, I don't mind, I'd like to see Electric Picnic go ahead, then all of the other stuff. And it just seems like he doesn't have a clue, you know. It's like, I just question what's going through his head. I'm off to London for the weekend and I have my picture taken here in a very public place, and at home, everyone's holding their Electric Picnic tickets and wondering what they'll do with them, and, you know, be waiting for reimbursement. I stood in a car park in the INEC in Killarney with Francis Black and Sheridan, and we sang the other night, on Friday night. There were 200 people in the car park. There was a packed capacity snooker event in the arena, and we were all young, much younger than us. I came up back to Wicklow and I did two events yesterday, one in Arklow, which is beautiful, sunshine, and one in Greystones last night, part of the scheme, you know, the government scheme.
Yeah,
and we are delighted and we will be going back indoors.
But I assume, Mary, from what you're saying, you would agree with what Kate O'Connell had to say yesterday, that this, there's nothing wrong with it, entitled to do it, but it's tone deaf.
It's tone deaf. It's pure stupid. You know, I mean, really, he doesn't seem to have any understanding of what it's been like, really, and that's what everybody says all the time. It's like one thing for them and the other thing for us, you know. And we still have only a small capacity, 60% capacity, which most venues won't probably open at. I know the Big Ahead in Vicar Street in 2020 has been put forward into May 2023. Such is the backlog, you know.
Yes, yeah.
So it's just going to take forever, you know, for us to get back on our feet. And they are on their feet big time in England. And I've been at gigs there. I had to do a concert myself there. It was wonderful. But, you know, it's just very, very poor taste, you know. And he is entitled to go to a gig if he wants to. But they should have put more thought and effort into organising the same events here, outdoors, safely, you know?
All right, Mary, we wish you well with the reopening. Lots more gigs to come, would hope. Fiona, I want to come back to the other controversy, which you mentioned at the start, the ongoing controversy about Simon Coveney and his appearance at the committee tomorrow, this release of documents today from the Department of Foreign Affairs. What are we expecting to see in that release, first of all?
So this is effectively Simon Coveney going back, doing what he should have been doing in the first place, which was putting everything out there. So what we're watching out for today is we're hearing there are more text messages to come, whether they're from the Piglet or the Merrion, I'm not entirely clear, but that will build up a picture of the level of contacts between Catherine Zappone and other members of the government in relation to this.
So are you saying there could be other ministers dragged into this?
There was always a curiosity around Pascal Donoghue, given his close relationship to Catherine Zappone. When they were at cabinet together, he was seen to be the friendliest with her. So we'll know today now what ministers exactly were in the loop here on what exactly was going on. On the flip side, it'll be interesting to see the tone of the correspondence within the Department of Foreign Affairs, because there was very definitely suggestions back at the start of this controversy that the diplomatic corps were not too pleased about the notion of having a former politician landed in on top of them. And so we'll see what kind of attitude and language is being used there. So it'll build up a full picture in terms of what were the level of contacts, but also how exactly was this, what has been described as a makey-uppy job, how was it created, and what exactly did who came up with the idea of creating this role for her, how it was constituted, and then how it was communicated across government. So was there any effort whatsoever to flag, we were hearing last week, the Department of Public Expenditure being dragged in to this as well. What was the correspondence there? Was there any effort to kind of seek opinions from across government on the creation of this role, which Simon Coveney is still claiming that he thought was a good news story, Catherine Zappone being appointed to this, quite clearly isn't.
You have Micheál Martin saying a number of times, you know, that this is overblown, really, that, you know, it is what it is, but the way he's conceded that the way it was handled was very poor, but that we should all move on. That seems to be wearing a little thin now.
Yeah, I mean, he has the difficulty that he is continually out defending Fine Gael minister. The way it was put to me last week by somebody very senior in government was they didn't smell blood over this, but there was very definitely damage done right across the board. Damage between the relationship between the Taoiseach and his ministers, the Minister for Foreign Affairs and the Taoiseach, very definitely by not keeping him in the loop as well. Likewise, the Green Party being kept out. You'd have to say on a layer below that, the safety net is political advisors. Each of the senior ministers have got political advisors who are supposed to catch these things. If a minister thinks something is a good news story, it is their job to turn around and go, I don't think this is a good news story. We better flag it across the board, people. And that doesn't seem to have happened here either. So there's very definitely damage done to the internal workings and relationships within the government itself. And that's what could prove most costly down the line.
Fiona, thank you very much for coming in. I'm joined on the line now by Sinn Féin TD for Wicklow, John Brady, the party spokesman on foreign affairs and also member of the Oireachtas Foreign Affairs Committee. Also with us, Fine Gael Senator Barry Ward, spokesperson on justice. Good morning to you both and thank you for joining us. John Brady, to you first. Simon Coveney is back with you at the Foreign Affairs Committee tomorrow to answer further questions on all of this. What are you expecting to hear?
Well, I suppose, Claire, what we need is the facts to be put before the committee. Unfortunately, when the minister came in last Tuesday, I firmly believe that the committee was misled on a number of grounds, and that needs to be clarified. Hopefully, at that stage, we will have the full raft of documentation material released, which is due to be released this afternoon. So we will have an opportunity to go through that. So look, I mean, what this is about is cronyism, pure and simple. It's about favours for friends. And unfortunately, again, Fine Gael have been cut out and doing business this way. And when they got cut out, they resort to cover up, deleting texts and changing their stories. And we've seen that happen a number of times following the committee meeting last Tuesday. So as I said, the minister did mislead the committee. So he needs to clarify some very serious comments that he made last week in terms of the deletion of the text messages, his engagement with the former minister, Catherine Sapone. He firmly stated at the committee last Tuesday that he had no direct communication with Catherine Sapone from February of last year right up until the proposed appointment. And it has now been revealed in the text messages that have been released by the Times that there was a conversation initiated by Catherine Sapone for their lobbying. This time she lobbied the Tánaiste. The Tánaiste then in turn contacted the minister. Minister Coveney then, and this is critical, and this is what we found out afterwards, on the 19th of July, following that initiation from the Tánaiste to the minister went and had a conversation with Catherine Sapone whilst the minister was out of the country. He contacted Catherine Sapone. He organised a meeting with the Secretary General within the department for the meeting to take place on the 21st, which was to ratify the contract details.
Okay.
So, you know, the committee has been misled. We need further clarity.
All right, and you said that. I just want to get Barry Ward's reaction to that. And it's important to state that the Minister for Foreign Affairs rejects that this was lobbying as defined in the Act. But you're very clear, John Brady. You feel that he misled the committee. Barry Ward, what do you say?
Well, John has put out an awful lot of stuff there and thrown an awful lot of mud, I think, in the hope that some of it will stick. But nobody is suggesting that Simon Coveney is anything other than a totally honourable person who is coming back to the committee tomorrow at the earliest possible opportunity. Today, I believe the Department of Foreign Affairs is releasing documents that will represent the totality of what they have on this issue. But I would certainly balk at the suggestion that Simon Coveney has done anything wrong or dishonest or anything like that, the way John is suggesting there.
And I don't think he may be in breach of the Freedom of Information Act.
Sorry, Claire. The minister deleted text messages, which clearly is
John, what you said was, in the course of what you said, John, you moved from the committee has potentially been misled to the minister clearly misled the committee. You advanced then to talk about favours for friends, crony. You talk about lobbying and the legislation term does not cover what happened there. The reality is, Claire, I've spent the weekend, for example, out and about in Dunleary meeting people. Not a single person has mentioned this to me. Of course, there are questions to be answered, and Minister Coveney has said very clearly he will answer them, and that's why he's returning to the committee at the earliest possible opportunity tomorrow, and his department is releasing documents today. So presumably John will have the answers to any questions he wants to ask, but I would absolutely hesitate to say Simon Coveney is a person of the utmost probity, and John is kind of slinging mud there with a view to hopefully having some of it stick and just to tarnish Simon's reputation.
But Barry, because people don't mention it to you on the streets of Dunleary when you're out and about doesn't mean it's not an important issue.
Absolutely.
And it may come back to bite if trust is damaged as a result of this.
Absolutely. And I think that's exactly what John and his colleagues are trying to do, is to create a trust issue around it. It has been conceded by the Tánaiste, by other members of government, that this was handled badly and that it was not done the way it should have been. All of that has been conceded. But what John is trying to do is to make more of it than there is actually there. And when what I'm saying to you, when I say people don't mention it to me, is that there are much more important issues on the agenda for the country and for the government and for people in their day-to-day lives than slinging mud in the way that John has been doing.
John Brady?
Well, Claire, unfortunately, what we're seeing here now is more spin by Fine Gael to downplay what is a case of cronyism, pure and simple. This is favours for
more
friends.
Mud being thrown there, John. You're repeating the words without any justification whatsoever.
It's not the first time we've seen Fine Gael engage in these tactics, and here we have Fine Gael people trying to downplay. The minister gave an incorrect record to a Dáil committee. The minister deleted text messages, critical text messages that the minister should be well aware or should be held for public record. They were deleted, and it's critical that we now find out when those text messages were deleted and why those text messages were deleted.
What do you make, John, of Barry's assertion that people that he meets, the voters, they don't care?
Well, Claire, I don't agree with that. I've spoken to many people over the weekend in my constituency and other places, and people see this as more of the same from Fine Gael. You know, it's about the insiders, it's about promoting and you know, giving
this
jobs.
This is the narrative that you're
made
trying
up,
to create,
made
John.
Up
you talk about spin, John. That's exactly what you're doing. You're trying to create a narrative around something that isn't there.
Colleagues and friends. So people see this as more of the same by Fine Gael, and they're sick and tired of it. And what we need now is total openness, total transparency, something that has lacked in this entire process from the get-go. So it's incumbent now that we get the full facts around all of these communications. And the critical thing here that needs to be answered as to whether at this stage now the minister has furnished his phone to the department in an attempt to retrieve all of those deleted text messages. And we need to get clarity around that
And
as
Barry
well.
Ward, what did you think of the Taoiseach's decision to go to that music festival in London at the weekend?
Well, as you know, Claire, the Taoiseach was in England on his own private time and his own expense at the weekend. It's in advance of a trade mission that has started today. I know he's already met with Michael Gove today. But what's important to remember is two things. Firstly, he didn't break any rules and didn't break any laws. But secondly, it's entirely consistent with the approach that he's had to the entertainment industry. I heard Mary Coughlan earlier, but Leo Varadkar has actually championed reopening the entertainment industry.
Mary Coughlan, who was playing a gig in a car park at the weekend. Yep. But, and she's the one who said, like, it's not up to us to put words into her mouth, me or you. She said this was in very poor taste.
I know that she did, but the reality is that she's talking about somebody who has consistently called for entertainment to reopen and has pushed for that. The Electric Picnic Festival didn't go ahead, not because of anything Leo Varadkar did, but I understand because of a planning issue. But the reality is that Leo Varadkar has pushed for a greater reopening of the entertainment sector all the way through. So this is entirely consistent with the way he has behaved and what he has said.
Was it tone deaf? His
department has invested or supported the industry to the tune of 100 million
euros. That's not the question. His decision to go to a music festival in London at the weekend, was it tone deaf?
I think it's really important to remember what Leo Varadkar, what his position has been on this issue, and it's entirely in accordance with that.
Okay. Those who said it was tone deaf, are they wrong?
No, I don't. I do think that they are wrong because he takes his, you know, he's entitled to spend his time where he chooses to spend his time in his private time, as long as he isn't breaking any rules or doing anything that contravenes the policy of the country.
John Brady.
Yeah, I think the Taoiseach showed poor judgment again. I mean, this is a sector here in Ireland that's been locked down right from the start of the pandemic. Thankfully, it's starting to reopen now. It has to be said that the Taoiseach is able to do what he wants in his own private time, but I think he does owe an explanation for his actions to the Irish event
industry.
Hang on
a second, John. He's either entitled to do it or he isn't. If he's entitled to do it, he doesn't owe any explanation. But
well, I think he does. It shows poor judgment from the Taoiseach's perspective.
The start of what you're saying, John, is this is a sector that's been locked down. Nobody is less pleased about that than the Taoiseach. And the suggestion, like, the reason the entertainment sector had to shut down was to protect everyone, and the reason it is now opening up is because of the success of the government's vaccination program.
Okay.
And Leo Varadkar has led the charge.
All right,
to open
we're
it up
we're going to leave
again.
It there. Barry Ward and John Brady, thank you both very much indeed. We'll be finding out what you can put in your green bin after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.